Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
I want you to tell you, there is a breakthrough atmosphere inside of me. I'm not sure it is fully outside, or should say inside of me. I'm not fully sure that it is outside of me yet, but it is about to come and it is about to present itself today. There is a breakthrough atmosphere beginning to happen, but what has to happen is we have to be willing to push. There's not a matter of so that we can earn it. There's such a balance we need to find at times between, and I'm already just running, so just catch up with me as we walk through. We are going to go through some scripture, and you can turn to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to go to a few places here today. But there is a spirit of breakthrough, a spirit of expectation. For those of you that don't know, that was tongues, and if you want to look it up, I don't have time today, but you can find it in the book of Acts. You can find it in many places. But there is the external atmosphere doesn't match at times the internal atmosphere, and we carry an internal atmosphere of the presence of God. Amen. But many times what happens is the outside wants to squish the inside. Anybody been there? Anybody been to the fact of that the outside, all the things that are going on around us, it wants to demean, it wants to push down, it wants to control, it wants to just keep hidden all of that sense of what God is about to do, what God is saying that's stirring inside. And when I came this morning, what is absolutely unbelievable is even yesterday, you can talk to me and ask Karen, I said to her, I said, I had a sermon and I got it early this week, and now I have no idea if that's what I'm going to preach. It's so exciting when that happens. No, yes, yes, sorry, I meant to say yes, yes, in there. But it's something because there is a stirring that we need to receive, amen? There is a stirring that I need to receive. There is a stirring of the Holy Spirit that we need to receive because we are about to go into a new day. We're about to walk into a shifting. We're about to see the fact of, anybody feel rusty? Come on now, and be honest with me. Anybody feel a little rusty? Even that sense of looking, and oftentimes our wording can be, but I remember when, or I wish it was like, or it was this sense of looking backwards to see what we want. And what has to happen in this season right now, and this is what I'm challenging you, if you don't remember anything I say this morning, is I challenge you not to look back to what we want, but to look forward to what we need. Come on now, that's a good word. Don't look back to what we want, because oftentimes we want to go back and we want to say, remember when this, remember when that was, remember when this was. But there's a sense of having to look forward, to look and press into what we can't even see. What is not physically able to see, what we look around and we go, I don't even see it. I don't see healing. I don't see restoration. I don't see these things going on. Even in our world around us right now, we don't see what God is saying a lot of times. You hear me? Understand what I mean? In that, when I say this, what I'm talking about is the Word of God declares something, and yet sometimes all around me in the world I see, in the world I live in, I'm not seeing it. And sometimes even in my own life, I'm not seeing those things. It's time to begin to have who is on the inside begin to affect everything all around us. Amen? There is this sense within me that the stirring that again, as I said to Karen last night, I feel, and this is, again, I know enough. And if you're new in the faith, you know enough that you don't go by your feelings, right? Feelings are an expression of something, yes, and they're not wrong and they're not bad, and we need to move away from that kind of thinking. But I can't go by my feelings to know what God is saying or doing in my life, right? Okay, respond with me, right? Yes, because there is this sense that what he's asking us to do right now is he is asking us to push into expectation. When all we see around us, or even what we feel, and what I feel at times is emptiness. What I feel at times is a wondering whether or not, like questioning, why is this happening? Why doesn't this happen? How come I'm not seeing this? How come I'm not seeing that? And if I'm not careful, I can allow that to become my expectation. I can allow it to become my language. I can allow it to become this sense of this phrase. And I have no idea where I'm going here with this right now. But it's something where this phrase is that in my experience. Have you ever heard that phrase? in my experience. I found myself the other day saying this, in my experience. And what that means is that that's my excuse, or that's my thing, or that's what I see. In my experience, I haven't really seen a lot of this. And what my eyes are doing, my eyes are beginning to look to the experience and make that the top authority. Come on now. And what happens, what we've got to do is we've got to go, no, 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 no. Yes, I get it. Yes, I see it. Yes, it's all around me. Yes, I've prayed 14 times for this healing. And yes, I'm seeing this. And yes, I'm wanting this. And nothing seems to be happening. But I have to choose. I have to choose to push beyond what I'm seeing and into the unseen realm. Let me ask you a question, a real simple question. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there lack in heaven? Anywhere Jesus is, okay, in the sense of when his presence is the fullness, which is what heaven is, it's the fullness of the presence of God, we begin to see that there is no sickness, there is no pain. Scripture teaches us the fact that there will come a moment, come a day, when all tears will be wiped away, and there will be no sickness and no pain in that place. But you know that we're supposed to experience heaven on earth. This is the difference. This is what I'm talking about. And this is where my challenge is, because my earth is filling my brain right now. My earth mindset is filling my brain right now. What I'm seeing all around me every time, and I'm trying not to, and I refuse to become political in the midst of all of this. I refuse to allow this particular virus to control everything I think about, to control everything I say. I will not let it do that to me. I will not be consumed by it in many ways, my body or my mind, in the expectation. I believe that we are about to see God move. But I don't want to be stuck looking at the outward things. I have to have a voice that's talking about expectation and hope. I have to have a voice that is able, and in order to have that voice, though, come on now, I'm not talking about sticking my head in the ground and just saying, well, you know, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact of allowing the presence of God to become my language. The presence of God. Did you never notice that you speak a whole lot of good stuff when you're in the presence of God? You ever notice that you're so much kinder, so much, you're just such a better, if you'd say a better person or a better version of you when you're in the fullness of the presence of God. Anybody ever felt that, ever experienced that? Okay, in there. And what's crazy is that you can be in a service and you can be speaking life over somebody, and you can just be speaking, and the Lord can be working through you. And before you know it, you're prophesying life, 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 life. And then on Tuesday, you're not speaking such good things. None of you do that. It's just me. Okay, good enough. But there is this sense for me is I need to learn to live out of the fullness of the presence of God. And you're saying, well, duh, Pastor. We already know this. We know this. In the world that we live in right now, people aren't looking for mental answers. They're looking for answers from heaven. Because listen to me, words of man can change things for a moment, but a word from God can transform everything. Let me ask you something. Has God ever touched anybody here before? Has he changed your life at all? You see, this is what I'm talking about, is that this sense of saying, Lord, again, stir me from the inside, Lord. Not from the outside, not about my emotions, not about these things, not about hoping that things are going to be better, but Lord, stir me from the inside again, God. Cause it to be, Lord, that you would shift from this sense of whether the struggle is depression, whether the struggle is just hopelessness, whatever the struggle is, whether the struggle is that whether you're in a battle with sickness, whether you're in a battle financially, whatever it would be, this week has been crazy for me of seeing all these attacks one after another. Attacks physically, attacks financially, attacks in these particular areas. And I don't have this belief system that every time I'm going to preach about something or talk about something, that means that I'm going to go through something. I don't have that belief system. But at times the enemy will roar up and try to get me to step back. You know what I'm talking about? That when you've had a breakthrough financially and when you're believing for things and you want to share those things, and then something will happen. Ever been there? Something will happen. You're like, well, I better not say anything now because look over there. And what my eyes do is they focus on the present problem and they give it authority. And here's the deal with all of this, that Jesus came. He is the supreme authority. He is that authority within us that can change everything. We had the privilege, I'm going to try to share a bit of these notes here, and I don't know where we will go with this morning, but is this all right? You're with me, you're walking with me this morning through this. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, here we go again. This is an amazing scripture. Listen to what it says. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. We just had a family festival, Christmas family festival, and we had the privilege of having all these families inside with us, and we were the family together here, and it was so great to see this sanctuary filled with games and with kids, and I loved seeing. One of my favorite parts was when all the families were all over the ground and they were just sitting huddled up ready to do our Christmas draws for the tickets that they had, and they were organizing all the tickets on the ground, and just this, it's just like, Lord, this is good. This is good. But one of my most favorite things is the display that we've left outside. And it says on there, it says, because of this. And then this heart, which is because of this love, I am. And just because of the weather and different things and whatnot, we didn't really get to do it as much as I was hoping to do. But the idea in that was that you were to answer that with a word or with a phrase. And so if that says, it does say, because of this great love, I am. And then you might have wrote a word like free. And then I put down free, and then I wrote rod, and then I wrote 49 years. And what that 49 years is how long I've been walking with Jesus. But there's something about the expectation in me of what we're going to see from that display out there. I believe it is a prophetic word and a prophetic sign. I didn't know. I didn't do it. I wish it would happen like that at times. I wish the Lord would just tell me every single thing that was going to happen with this when I was going to do something. But I just simply had this idea that I could see and that I would put out there. But I believe that the I am is going to bring breakthrough in this next season. I am believing, and hear me now, that does not mean breakthrough. If you've got, let me give you a warning, okay? If you think breakthrough means easy, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that everything is going to work perfectly, but what it does mean is when we push through, change is coming. Anybody need change right now? Anybody need something to shift, something to break, something to change right now? So here's the thing for me, it's a matter of saying, Lord, again, I give you the sovereignty of my life. I make you number one in my life. I place all other things as lesser authority. I will use your word now. And here's the thing. When you're battling, it's difficult at times to believe the word. Now, we're trained in the sense to battle with the word. But there's a difference between battling with the word from possibly even a position of fear as to know the word and battle the situation because you know the word inside of you. There is this sense that to me that is coming that I believe we're going to see people that so just write this down. You are going to look over at someone and you're going to say, wow, I didn't expect that to happen with them. Because I believe that God is beginning to shift and change people's lives, and you're going to see some miracles begin to happen in their lives. It is, when I see that when I read that scripture, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, it reminds me again to me of the greatest gift of Christmas. And we all know, and we've looked around, and I have a really nice Christmas sermon right here if anybody would like to look at it later. Thank you, Lord. But in the midst of this, listen, just catch this.
And I'm still working this through. So Pastor Claude and I have had discussions within these things a lot of times, and we like to chat and talk about different things and whatnot. But usually I have them all worked out. I like to work it all out before I say something. Let me warn you, I don't have it all worked out. And I really wish that camera wasn't on right now. Only because I don't have it all worked out. It may seem simple to you, but I am amazed at what my Jesus did for me when he came. See, this little baby in a manger over here is what typically people look at when they think of Christmas. They see that little tiny baby over there in the manger. Karen alluded to it a little bit, of the gift of Jesus, the exchange. I was sitting here, I was sitting a few years back, and I was contemplating what Jesus had done for me and what his gift meant for me. And I began to think about the fact that because of his great love, and maybe I didn't put it in that particular way, but I would now if I was thinking about it, because of his great love, I am healed. And I would begin to think of what he did for me on the cross. See, I can't help but think of the cross when I think of Christmas. Because when Jesus came as the baby, it wasn't just the fact that, oh, the cross showed up later on. Whoops. No, he knew when he came that the cross was the end result of the manger. So whenever I see a manger scene, I see a cross. What I tried to do out there, I wanted to do out there was to be able to have, but we just couldn't figure out how to do it because of the way that light works. But I wanted a light to shine out of the manger onto the cross. Because there's always, always I see the cross when I think of the manger. But then the Lord began to, I began to think about other things. Not just healing, but restoration. Lives changed. Families restored. Marriages restored. Begin to think of all of these things. I begin to think of how much God has changed me. Do you know that when you're young, you think you know everything? All the young people went, really? And all the older people went, been there, done that. But there is this sense of this journey to recognize. And one of the things I've recognized, and the thing that I, when I said I don't have it all worked out, is the greatest gift to me, though, is that Jesus gave up, let me say it this way. Before he came as a babe, Jesus was spirit. Now, we are all spirit, right? I am spirit. My spirit, even when I go to heaven and whatnot, my spirit is what goes. The body is, you know, get a new glorified body. But when I think of what Jesus did for me, the cross is incredible. The cross is amazing and all that he gave me in salvation. But when I think of it, he was absolutely free and was spirit with the Father. And when he came, he chose a permanency of the body. You see, he came as total human. He was absolute God and absolute human, right? He wasn't half human, half God. He was all God and all human. But when he came, he took on the body. He took on flesh, Scripture says, in this. And he was clothed with flesh. He took on flesh. You see, what does it talk about in Luke chapter 24? And it talks about it in a few other places as well. But when Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrected, and what does he say to Mary? Mary, don't cling to me right now because I still have to go to the Father. And when he goes to the Father, he then comes back, and he does these. I think Jesus loved to have fun with the disciples. And I think he just kind of, all of a sudden, poof, showed up in the middle of the room. You can find scriptures that talked about, and he appeared, and it freaked them out, and they thought he was a ghost, okay, in this. And he says to them, no, look at my hands, look at my feet. Do you have any food to eat? And he digests food and he eats food in those moments. At that moment, he had went to the Father. He has his glorified body and he's here. I need you to grab this. I recognize he did that for me. He will always have that glorified body. Is he spirit? Yes, of course. But there's always going to be this glorified body. And he did that for me. When I think of all the other things, and I think of who he made, who he has transformed me, I begin to think about it like this. I begin to think about the other characters. I don't like using that word because they're real people, but that are in the Bible story. When we think of Zechariah, and if Zechariah was here, Zechariah the priest, and we can look at it in Luke chapter 1,
really verse 5 and 25 and around there, and we can look over and we can see that he was serving in his normal way, okay, as a priest. But he had given the opportunity to burn incense at this moment. And we know the story. If you don't know it, you can look it up in Luke, and you can see that an angel showed up to him and began to speak to him. And it changed his life. But when I think of Zacharias and I think of that story, because we often don't use that story. We don't even use a lot of the stories around Christmas, only at Christmas time. But when I think of that story, I think of two words that probably you wouldn't be able to pick out if I gave you 100 guesses. I think of the word kairos, and I think of the word chronos. And you might be looking at me, some of you are, with your, all I can see, because I can't see the rest of your faces, I can see your eyebrows, okay, and they're looking at me going, what are you talking about? The word chronos means this. It refers to chronological time. It's a Greek word, and it refers to the fact of plowing, okay, the fact of day after day after day after day. It is the normal chronos, chronological, okay, when you look at a watch and see that. But kairos means this. It means the appointed time. It means the breakthrough time. It means a divine moment of transition. Turn with me over in your Bibles and let's just look at it in Luke chapter 1. And we'll just see it just for a second. Luke chapter 1 verse 8 and 9. It says, so it was that while he was serving, which is not the word, doesn't mean that word is not the word chronos, but it's referring to the same concept. It is the regular thing that he would be doing, okay? So he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood. His lot fell to burn incense, and when he went into the temple of the Lord. And when it says in verse 11, and then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And that is where the kairos moment begins to happen. Standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Now, I think if Zacharias was here and he was to write on that wall out there, he would write down, because of such great love, I am heard, that my prayers are heard. You see, in those moments, that moment, I want to draw your attention to this, that for Zacharias, I'm sure that he didn't always feel heard. You see, his wife, his name is Elizabeth, and she was barren. And in that culture and in that time, it was an extremely difficult thing. It's a difficult thing now. It's a very, very heart-wrenching thing. But in those days, it was just devastating. And so they had been praying and been asking for a son for so, so long. For so long. You think now, look at his words. If you follow with me and we continue to read, look in his words. If we go to verse 5, okay, we go back a little bit to verse 5. And there was in the days of King Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and in the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. You see, even when you go on back and you read down, and when the angel tells him something, and Zacharias is filled with doubt because of the fact that this is what his words are. This is that we, basically in a nutshell, I'm too old and my wife is beyond the years of birthing. Holy Spirit. That phrase caused me this week to sit for a while and begin to think. And I began to contemplate, Lord, have I lost my birthing? Now, I need you to understand, hear me in this, because some of you might think that you're talking craziness. But in that moment, when Zacharias hears this, his mind says that Elizabeth is beyond the years of birthing. And his focus is on the impossible. I need to ask you something. Has God given you a promise that you have not yet seen?
Some of you might right now, you're young and you haven't said, well, I'm too old for this. But you might have said this. You might have said, I've messed my life up too much. I missed my opportunity. You might have said, well, if I was younger, I've missed my opportunity. But God can come in a moment and it can transition everything and change everything. And I wish that this morning my sermon was nice and neat and tidy. It's the way I like to preach. But the word I believe the Lord has given me for you, for those that are watching, is in this next season, if we want it to, if we reach out to him, he's going to bring Kairos into the Kronos. He is going to shift us into breakthrough. He is going to move us into a brand new season. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't feel to go any farther. I have all kinds of other stuff that we could talk about this morning and I could show you. But I want you just to close your eyes just for a second. I believe there's some of you that have given up on some dreams and given up even on the fact of what the Lord has asked you and said, well, you know what? I messed up and all right, I should have done it before, or I don't know what it is. I missed the opportunity. I missed the moment. And if that's a fear for you, I want you right now, and if it's not, then don't worry about it. But if that's a fear for you, if that's something that's in your language, if that's the sense of feeling like you've missed your opportunity to birth what God wants to birth in you, then what I want you to do is just between you and the Lord right now, just say to him, Lord, I see that I have believed this lie. God, I seem to be stuck in it, Lord. I seem to be stuck. I seem to be having a struggle to believe that things can rapidly change. I seem to be stuck in all of the things that everyone else is saying. I seem to be stuck in all of this stuff that's around me. I seem to be stuck in the fact that I'm seeing financial problems. I seem to be stuck in the fact that I'm seeing sickness and that I'm experiencing sickness and I just can't seem to break through. I seem to be stuck, Lord. My focus is moved away from expecting you to bring breakthrough to the fact that this is going to be my lot in life. And so, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to wash me clean from this. I repent of these lies. I repent of this way of thinking. Even though I didn't choose it, I didn't want it, it has become the way that my mind thinks. And I choose today to receive the word of the Lord, that this is a new day, that this is a breakthrough season, and that I am pushing through all of the lies right now, and I'm pushing into a brand new season. I declare that what Jesus has done for me is who I am. I declare that I am free in Christ right now. Come on, if this is you, just begin to declare it with your words, with your own words, with your own mouth right now. I am declaring that I am free. I am declaring that I am transformed. I am declaring that I am changing. I am declaring that I am moving from the old way of thinking into a brand new way of thinking. I am declaring that I am transforming to become more like Jesus every day. And so, Lord, I'm so grateful that you didn't look over at Zacharias, although there was a cost because he was mute then because of his fear and his disbelief. But it didn't stop the gift from coming, that John still came. And John's name means Yahweh is gracious. That God is gracious. And John was filled with the Holy Spirit
in the womb. John is a sign now of what we're going to begin to see begin to happen at ACM. That we are going to see the Spirit of God begin to be poured out. And we are going to begin to see those that in the Spirit are John's. And they will become filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues. And we will begin to see a new day and things begin to shift. Amen? So, Father, we just give you who we are. And we declare that our identity is wrapped up in who you say we are. And we walk away right now from every fear in the name of Jesus right now. We walk away from every fear of saying, can I do this? Because really that's what Zacharias was saying. This isn't possible. How is this even possible? I love the angel's response. He tells him who he is. He tells him that he's been in the presence of God. And so when the enemy comes to tell us all these lies, I will tell him who I am in Christ, and I will tell him that I have been in the presence of God. And this is what I've heard. Not all the other things that are going on, not all the other lies that are happening, but that I have been in the presence of God, and this is what I've heard from him. Amen? And so, Father, we say, Lord, that as Christmas Day is approaching and as we're going to be spending time with family and it is a tense time at times in the world around us. But here we are, Holy Spirit. Come on, just with me now. Here we are, Holy Spirit. Fill us up so that we can pour out. Fill us up, Holy Spirit, that we can pour out. We don't need music right now. We don't need anything along those lines. Just lift your hands up and just begin to say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Pour into me so that I can pour out over Christmas. That I can pour out into my family. That I can pour out into my friends. That I can pour out into my neighbors. That God, you are bringing something new. And when we begin to see this shift happen, we're not going to be silent. We're not going to sit there and bury it. We're not going to hide it. We are going to begin to declare from the mountaintops, God is changing things. Things are shifting. I am beginning to experience something new. There is a rumbling like there was in the grave when Jesus died and was buried. But all of a sudden now, there is a rumbling and resurrection is beginning to happen. Resurrection is beginning to happen, because that's truly what Christmas is all about.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.